Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The game, it is a reaction Monday. I am live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans training camp about to get underway. Jake Lyman with you. Parker Kelly back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. All of our Titans training camp coverage presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Parman Energy, the Music City Kickoff Game, Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Wanted to get into some Vanderbilt football here. We'll talk some Vols this hour as well. Again, Titans team drills usually get going around 11 a.m., so we'll start to give you some updates then. As fans are out here, we can update you live throughout the show, so we will do that. But did want to talk some college football. We are less than 2 weeks away from week zero, less than 3 weeks away from a full slate of college football. We cannot wait. And I was out there at Vanderbilt scrimmage on Saturday, just hanging out, watching some of what they've got coming back for 2026. And, of course, the quarterbacks were the talk of the day. Clark Lee, I was sitting in on his press conference on Saturday afternoon and talked about what he's seen from Jared Curtis, the growth there, thought that Saturday was one of his best days overall in terms of operation and execution, but said he's not ready to name a starting quarterback yet. We'll see if that comes in the next week or so. Both these quarterback competitions, Parker, are really interesting for Tennessee and Vanderbilt because I do think eventually it has to be the true freshman. You gotta eventually get to Jared Curtis, and I do think for Tennessee, you eventually are going to get to Faison Brandon. George McIntyre, very talented recruit coming out of high school, but I do think that the new shiny thing with Faison Brandon coming in, I think has a higher ceiling. I think they're going to get to him at some point, but that does not mean they're going to be the starter in week one. It does seem like both coaches are still struggling with that decision of who gives you the best chance to win right away.
I'm less surprised about this from Josh Heupel's perspective because he just naturally, as a coach, keeps everything super close to the vest, and you know he's going to wait as long as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a starter, you know, heading into game week, and we finally figure out who's going to start during the first drive of the Kennesaw State game, you know, or the Furman game. But you know, Josh Heupel, I think eventually is going to name a starter. I would not be surprised if it is Faison Brandon. That's actually who I think is going to start for him, although you have been hearing positive things about George McIntyre from the last week. But what's concerning about that is George McIntyre, despite not having as much experience in college, he still has more experience than Faison Brandon has, plus he has a year in the system, but he hasn't taken the bull by the horns yet. And if you're thinking about upside, there's certainly more upside with Faison Brandon. So when all things are even, I tend to lean, okay, who has the more upside, and that's Faison Brandon.
Yeah, that's my thought process too, and I think it's, yes, McIntyre is younger and more talented than Blaise Berlowitz is, but it's a similar question of, if it's close, do you go with the guy who has more talent? And also, the advantage for guys like Berlowitz and McIntyre should be their experience in the system. Berlowitz has been in the Timbeck system for at least 3 years, going back to New Mexico State. George McIntyre has that year head start on Faison Brandon. And like you said, if they haven't taken the bull by the horns and they haven't looked like the better, more experienced quarterback immediately, then I do wonder if you just go with the young guy.
And two, it's not a huge part of Josh Heupel's offense, but the quarterback is going to be asked to run a little bit. That is part of the scheme. And when George McIntyre, if he takes off to run, I'm worried he's going to get snapped in half. You know, Faison Brandon physically looks like an upperclassman in college. You know, he's impressive from a physical standpoint. With George McIntyre, I truly worry that it doesn't look like he's put on any weight. And if he has, it's really hard to tell. So with that dynamic of the offense being in play, that also would favor FaZe on Brandon.
Yeah, I think at some point during the year, you got to go to those young guys. And because if Faison Brandon doesn't start this year, and George McIntyre, let's say he's not horrible, right? Like, he's a good player. You maybe go 8-4. He's a good player. What do you do coming back next year? Like, do you tell your starting quarterback to hit the portal because Faison Brandon's going to start? Or does Faison Brandon say, well, I'm stuck behind McIntyre now. I'm not going to get an opportunity here. I'm going to go into the portal. So that whole situation in Tennessee is a little different. With Vanderbilt, you know Jared Curtis is the future, right? Like, that's everyone knows that they are trying to build this program over the next few years around Jared Curtis as the centerpiece at quarterback. That doesn't mean he's going to be ready week one, but I also wonder, again, if it's close. Because if it's not close and Clarkley looks at it and says, Blaze Berlewitz gives us the best chance to win, I think you've got to go with Berlewitz. But if it's close, wouldn't you rather Jared Curtis get that ramp-up period that we've talked about a ton with Vanderbilt of, all right, you get Austin Peay to start, you get Delaware, and then you get NC State before you have to go into Jordan Hare and go play between the hedges at Athens, the team that you were committed to and then flipped on. Like, if you're going to play him at all this season, I think it makes sense to just start him in week one and let him get those reps and that ramp-up period, because if you're going to just plug him in later on in the year and his first start is coming at Jordan Hare, that's a lot. You're throwing him into the deep end, whereas, again, nothing, no disrespect against Austin Peay, they're a good FCS team. You're allowing him to kind of wade into the waters a little bit if you just start him from week one and deal with some of the growing pains that you're going to see with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, with Jared Curtis, it's never been about the physical development as much as it is about the mental learning curve that he's going to have to get over at some point. But it sounds like from everything that I've heard from Clark Lee, he's a lot higher on the talent of the roster and the depth of the roster than even he was last year. And it you know, the way they're talking, they weren't satisfied with how last year ended. So they're wanting to build off of that. And all due respect to Blaze Berlewitz, I just don't know how competitive a football team you can be with him as your starter. So, and you're paying all that money to Jared Curtis, I don't think you're just going to sit him on the bench. I think he's going to be your starter at some point. I honestly think it's going to be week one, but you know, I think it'll be okay to throw him in the fire and just see how he does.
Yeah, and with Blaze Berlewitz, I think if you're starting him, you know you're not going to be asking a ton from him. It's going to be take care of the football, rely on your run game, and make the throws when we need you to, right? Like, it's going to be limited passing game. They're going to rely on the trio of running backs they have in the backfield, led by Cedric Alexander. That's going to be the game plan, and then hope your defense holds up and you can win some games that way. With Jared Curtis, yeah, you're probably going to have to deal with some of those freshman mistakes, and maybe there's a turnover here and there that it's just like, man, Blaze wouldn't have done that. But I think you're also going to get some plays out there. And they posted a play, Vandy did, from the scrimmage on Saturday, where he's rolling against his body and hits a running back for a big play. It's like, you're going to get some of those plays where it's like, man, Blaze wouldn't have done that. And Jared would. So I think you kind of have to take the good with the bad. And again, Clark Lee going to make this decision in the next couple of weeks leading up to that opener against Austin Peay. I just would like to see the young guy maybe get his feet wet a little bit early on before you have to get into a 9-game SEC schedule. Because if he's going to play at all, I'd rather him get those game reps under his belt before you're facing the superpowers that you're going to face week in and week out in the SEC.
And there is the ramp-up period for Jared Curtis, but you're just going to have to know that if he ends up being the starter week one, there are going to be freshman mistakes, and there are going to be times where it's a welcome to college football moment. That just happens, you know, for any freshman making the jump from, you know, starting in high school to starting in the SEC right away. That's just a natural part of it. But the upside with him, there's plenty of it, and I'd rather have him just get the experience now and learn those lessons, you know, where you're heading into your sophomore season, you're feeling really good about where he's at.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 1180 on the text line says, let's be honest, if Vandy wins 3 games, Curtis transfers. See, I don't know about that, first of all. Like, I think that Curtis signed up for this knowing that it's going to be a couple-year process. I don't think Jared Curtis came into this thinking we're going to be in the college football playoff year one. So I don't know. But the big thing is I don't think Vandy's only winning three games this year. And that leads us into where we're going next. Bruce Feldman was on the Audible podcast with The Athletic and just had some what I want to call ill-informed takes on what Vanderbilt football is going to look like this year. And we'll get to it coming up next. 615-737-1025. It is a Reaction Monday. Jake Lyman out at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans practice minutes away from getting started. We'll have updates for you throughout the show. Again, our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Next man up here on 1025 The Game.
I'm selling pretty big on this. I would not be shocked if they were in a dogfight against Austin Peay. I think I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up getting upset in that game. I think they're probably headed to this season. Again, new quarterback. After the first two games, the schedule gets a lot harder. I think they're a 3-9 kind of team this year.
Jeez, yeah, old Pete, there's your aggregation right there. Did Clark Lee insult your family at some point, Bruce?
No, they lost a generational college player for them, and they lost a really dynamic tight end on top of it. I think Pavia was such a huge impact guy there. Again, I don't think they're going to be, I mean, they were worse than what I think they're going to be before Pavia got there. But I do think there's going to be some growing pains. And again, this is a little bit of a function of they're closer to where they used to be now, and the schedule is a lot harder.
That was Bruce Feldman on the Audible podcast from The Athletic talking about Vanderbilt football. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I got to say, that it made me chuckle a couple of times listening to some of those things, because the one thing I gathered is I think Bruce Feldman, the only two players he knew on Vanderbilt's team from last year were Diego Pavia and Eli Stowers. He mentioned them both twice and didn't talk about anything that they have coming back this year on defense, some of the skill position players, Cedric Alexander, Junior Sherrill. Now, I think Vandy is going to take a step back this year. I don't think anybody could argue that this team's going to be better without a player like Diego Pavia and some of the other losses that they've had. But the one line in that bothered me the most is Vandy is closer to where they were before than they were with Diego Pavia, because that is just patently untrue when you look at the level of talent on this roster.
Drugs. Just pure and utter drugs. I like Bruce Feldman. I really do. But I don't know what he's talking about, nor can I defend what he was saying. In college football, there's this disease nationally where people love to talk about what teams lose, and that is a part of the conversation, certainly. But if you're going to talk about what teams are losing, can you at least talk about what they have returning and what they have coming in? Vanderbilt, the cellar is not dry with Vanderbilt. They have one of the best 1-2 punches at running back, not just in the SEC, but in the country, that for some reason nobody wants to talk about, and Cedric Alexander and MK Young. I know they lose four starters on the offensive line, but go look at who they brought in to replace them. I feel really great about that unit. I feel good about the receiving core. I love Ricardo Jones, bringing him in from Clemson. Yeah. 6 interceptions last year, which was tied for 2nd in the country. I love the secondary. I don't know how the front 7's going to be this year, but I'm willing to blindly trust it at least a little bit more than last season as of right now. The only thing that we're really talking about as a question mark is the quarterback. So if you're going to talk about what a team is losing, well, at least talk about what they have coming in. You talk about a generational player for Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. Well, Vanderbilt just beat out Georgia and Oregon for a 5-star quarterback, the number one quarterback in the class. No mention of Jared Curtis.
Yeah, it seems like the only two players he knew were Pavia and Stowers. Like, all right, well, they're not there anymore, so they're going to go 3-9. Being in a dogfight with Austin Peay, I mean, are we serious, Bruce? Like, That whole clip, if you're going to talk about it was an SEC preview podcast, that whole thing came from. And it's hard for these national reporters to know everything about every single team. But if you're going to sit down and you're going to do an hour-long podcast on the SEC, at least have some knowledgeable takes on all 16 teams. Because all he talked about was two players that they lost. This defense, I think, is going to be better than it was last year. I mean, you mentioned Ricardo Jones in the secondary you bring in, and you bring in Brian Allen from Iowa on the defensive line. You also get back Issa Wataha, who everybody we've talked about from Vandy. We talk with Joey Dwyer, who covers the team for Vandy on SI. We talk with Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram. And Andrew going to join us in studio tomorrow, by the way. And they say Issa Wataha may be the biggest addition, just getting him back from injury this year. You've got Miles Capers back. You've got Brian Longwell back. Nick Rinaldi's back. Martell Heights back. C.J. Hurd's back. That defense returns a whole lot of talent, and you add in some key pieces at different spots to help fill it out. I really think that this team, again, is not going to be a 10-win team most likely, but I think projecting it to be anything less than a bowl team, like, maybe 5-7 you could get away with, and I wouldn't say it's completely asinine. But 3-9 and saying they're going to possibly lose to Austin Peay at home, I think is just absolutely ridiculous.
And you don't expect a guy like Bruce Feldman to know everything about Vandy football, but at least, I mean, from that soundbite, it doesn't even sound like he did his homework. And we're
right.
I don't think even people here are expecting Vanderbilt to replicate what they did last year, going 10-2 in the regular season and making the bowl game versus Iowa, but I don't think the bottom is just going to completely fall out. I still think they'll be competitive to, you know, where they were in 24 when they went 6-6. They might even be a little bit better. I think Vandy's going to go 7-5, but even 7-5, I don't think is a bad year for Vanderbilt.
No, and I think that it's just so funny. He didn't mention anything about this year's team in that clip. Like, if you listen back to it, there is nothing about a concern that he has about this year's team specifically. I guess you could say that the Pavia one was kind of inferring that quarterback's going to be an issue, which I think everybody looks at and says quarterback may be the weak spot of this team because Jared Curtis is young, and if he's out there, there's going to be some growing pains. But it's not like he mentioned, oh, the offensive line, you're replacing four starters, which would have been a valid criticism. All he said was you lost Pavi and you lost Stowers, so you're going to be back to same old Vandy. Like, it's such lazy analysis, and I laughed at that. Again, I don't think Vandy's going to be a college football playoff team this year. I think that's too high of expectations. When you are losing Diego Pavia, and you do have to replace a lot of pieces on the offensive line, and you lose a couple of weapons, not just Eli Stowers, but Trey Richardson's gone. But I look at that defense, and I think there is a ton of talent there. You lost a few guys. Langston Patterson at linebacker, Randon Fontenette was obviously a key piece in the secondary. He's now at Colorado. But you bring back so much talent, and you bring in guys like Allen and Jones in the secondary, and you're going to see development from some of the younger guys. I think this team is going to be a 6-8 win team. Would be my guess, give or take a win or two here. But again, somebody told me about that on Saturday. I think it was Andrew Allegretta actually mentioned that clip to me, and I went back and listened to it, and I was like, all right, we got to talk about this on the show, because it just makes no sense, and it shows that he probably could not name more than three players on Vanderbilt's roster.
No, that's what bothers me, just not mentioning anything about this year's team. Just talking about what the team lost, okay, but who do they bring in? You know, they've been pretty good when it comes to evaluating guys in the portal, evaluating guys out of high school, and I give a ton of credit to Barton Simmons and his staff. I Yep. really feel like that's made a huge difference when it comes to scouting and bringing these guys in through the portal. I think they've been spot on. And Cade McConnell, he's one of my favorite offensive linemen in college football. So him anchoring that offensive line, I have a lot of confidence. But that bothers me. It really was lazy analysis, and I expect better from Bruce Feldman.
Yeah, and you know, the season is less than a month away. We're getting closer, but I would be absolutely stunned if Vandy does not beat Austin Peay by at least 17 points. I mean,
there's too much
Nevada
of a gap between
right.
But there's a gap between the group of six and FCS. Like, it's just like, what are we talking about?
Right. It's and this is nothing against Austin Peay, because I do think Austin Peay is a good FCS team. Right. We saw what they did at MTSU last year in the opener. it's there are levels to this, though, like you said. And Vandy is – this is not the same old Vandy from 3 years ago where it's like, oh, you got to worry about them in every game. No, Vandy's going to take care of business in its first two games. I would be stunned if either of those games are in question heading into the fourth quarter.
And acting like Austin Peay is, you know, like Montana State or something, or right. North Dakota State or South.
Yeah.
They're not one of the Dakota schools. Again, no offense to Austin Peay. They've done just right. a fine job, but come on, dude. Like, Austin Peay is not beating Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was funny. Vandy, that I've said it all offseason that I do think that there is this narrative of it was all Pavia and Vandy's going to go back to being what they were before. And Bruce Feldman basically saying those words verbatim to discuss why he thinks Vandy's going to go 3-9 is hilarious, because there's no analysis going on there. You're not actually looking at the players and the coaches and what they do on the football field. You're just scouting a logo and saying, oh, well, Pavi is gone. Same old Vandy. It's ridiculous. And I hope that Vandy proves a lot of those people wrong this year. And that doesn't have to mean being a 9-win team. But being a team that is now competitive in every single SEC game, it is going to be in a bowl year in and year out. That's a big step forward for Vanderbilt. And you hope that that can be a building block for the next few years where Jared Curtis starts to settle in and can become the guy that you recruited him to be.
And I really trust. I do. Barton Simmons is one of those guys where I just don't feel like he gets enough credit for his job.
Yeah.
He's really good at evaluating these guys. And I think that's just such a huge part of today's game, where it's speed dating. With only one portal window, coaches have talked about it. It's you get 2 weeks to get these guys in and out, and you really got to be able to hit on these guys without having – much knowledge on them prior. That's why you need almost a front office type like you have in the NFL and college football. But for, you know, the last 2 years, they've really been able to hit on these guys out of the portal. But did he even name Eli Stowers by name, or did he just say that really good tight end?
He just said a dynamic tight end.
So yeah, that's Vanderbilt's analysis. You lose Diego Pavia, you lose that one really good tight end.
Yeah,
three
is a good player for
them.
3-9.
I mean, yeah. Come on, dude.
I know. It's just like, again, nothing. This isn't personal against Bruce Feldman. I think he does do a good job for the most part. But this was clearly he didn't know much about Vanderbilt and just decided to go off. Oh, well, that's the headline. They lost Pavia, 3-9. They suck. It's just lazy. 615-737-1025. Let's go to the phone lines. Edward is called in, wanting to chime in. Edward, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Okay.
Yep, we got you.
This is my analogy of national sports talk, guys. I listen to a lot of weekend stuff, and y'all are looking for fillers, so you put some of these on. I've always found that your local regional sports talk radio guys are just so much better. I think of a national guy as a guy that was in school, and the teacher says, he's not worth being kicked up to the next grade, but I don't want to deal with him anymore. He's going. That's the way I see national sports talk guys. I mean, you ever listen to some of these guys out of Las Vegas? They're idiots. And so it's just a grain of thought for I don't – I mean, you tell me, this is your career. Would it be a big deal for you to get kicked up to a national sports talk show and – be put on the weekends? And I mean, Jake, tell me.
Yeah, it's a good question, Edward, because I do think for national, you have to be a jack of all trades, but like a master of none, right? Like because it's not hyper-focused. For us here, we can be hyper-focused on the Titans and the Preds and Vanderbilt and Tennessee and college football, NFL football as a whole. It's very specialized. I do think that some things may fly under the radar, and you have to speak in generalities and headlines when you're doing national, because yeah. you're not hyper local. You're not hyper focused on anything.
Let me ask you this. So people like yourself, Paul Kaharsky, Joe Dubin, I mean, is that what y'all want to aspire to, national? I don't know. I'm just asking. I mean, is that where everybody wants to head in the sports talk radio era?
I guess it just depends on the person, right? Like, I think there are some people who fit more of a local area, and it's like they speak to a certain fan base. I think there are other people who do aspire to do national. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else. I mean, my start always was in play-by-play, so it's like that's kind of been my track. But, yeah, I mean, I think when you get called up to national, you're asked to cover the national headlines. The NBA is a big deal.
Thought. Yep. Yeah, right, my final thought. Okay, if Bruce thinks that Austin Peay is going to give Vanderbilt an issue, I mean, what drugs are, I mean, is he on crack cocaine? I mean, give me a break.
To answer your question, Edward, I mean, yes, there are drugs involved.
Homework. You can do very little homework and find that information out, guys.
Right. We appreciate the call, Edward. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, with Bruce Feldman, I do think it's just he spoke in generalities. He spoke in headlines, and I think Edward makes a good point about it. Like, national, you do have to kind of just speak in what the general public knows. And people who cover the SEC, not just Vanderbilt in general, the SEC, know more about Vanderbilt for him who covers everything. I think it was just he didn't dive deep enough and said, oh, Pobby's gone. Whatever. 2513 says, keep sleeping on Austin Peay. We are not trying to take shots at Austin Peay here. I think Austin Peay is going to be a very good FCS team. But how many FCS over FBS upsets have there been in the last 15 years? I mean, it's a big deal when it happens. And for Vanderbilt, a team that won 10 games a year ago and is returning a lot of talent, despite what some people may tell you, I don't see it happening.
I don't either. I really don't either. But, you know, what do we know about Vanderbilt, right? You know, I cannot believe that. I'm shocked because I know Bruce Feldman is better than that. And he's really good at what he does. But just, you know the age-old saying, Jake, you know, casual people rarely say smart things. Sometimes smart people say casual things. I just think it's an instance of the latter here with Bruce Feldman. But, yeah. Really bad take by him.
I will say FCS over FBS upsets happen more often than you would think, but FCS over Power 4 upsets would be more what I was talking
right.
about.
I mean, there have been instances lately right, like, of like FCS teams beating up on, like, you know, beating a group of six, but, you know, when it comes to beating a Power 4, the age of App State beating Michigan, I mean, those days are pretty much behind us.
Yeah, I'm looking back through FCS over power conference teams. Sacramento State beat Stanford in 2023. Southern Illinois beat Northwestern in 2022.
What was the last year Oregon State was taken down to the wire by FCS? It started with an L. I can't remember.
I don't see that on here.
It was early on in their schedule. I'll go find it.
Tarleton State beat Army last year. Austin Peay beat MTSU. LIU beat Eastern Michigan. And Bryant beat UMass. Those were your FCS over FBS wins. So it's very rare to see a team from the FCS beat a power conference team. It does happen, but rarely. And to pick that, I think it's lazy. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue talking some college football. Titans practice is underway as well. We'll give you updates as we have them for you. With fans out here today, we will keep you updated on how Cam Ward's day goes and much more. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am live at Titans training camp. Practice is underway. Individual work going on right now. We will give you updates once they get into some team stuff, let you know how things are going for Cam Ward and company as they kick off week two of the preseason. Practice today, practice Wednesday, joint practice with Seattle on Friday leading up to the home opener in the preseason against the Seahawks on Sunday. We are talking some college football here. We are 2.5 weeks away from week one. Am I correct? Yeah. Less than 3 weeks away from week one. A little over 2 weeks away from week zero. I'm not doing the math right there in my head.
Two weekends until week zero, three until week one.
Yes. This is I'll make it simple. This weekend coming up is the last weekend without meaningful football. It may not be great meaningful football in week zero, but we've got one more weekend without football that actually counts. So excited for that. We've talked a lot of Vandy this hour. I did want to check in on the Vols. Another tough injury. Safety Idris Farouk with a torn patellar tendon. He is out for the year. Parker, your level of concern with this defense. I know bringing in Jim Knowles, you expect a big upgrade in terms of the leadership on the defensive side, but losing another piece and, you know, Chaz Coleman, they've at least had a while to deal with that and get guys ready to fill that role. Arian Carter is only going to miss two games with the suspension, but you lose another starting player in that secondary. Any level of concern for this defense heading towards the new season?
Well, it's not great. That's not great news because he was going to be a starting safety. He was second in the SEC last year in forced fumbles. I think he had a couple interceptions as well. So losing him, you're not going to have Arian Carter for those two games. You lose Jaden Harmon to a torn ACL who, you know, he was running with the threes, but he was still going to be a depth piece in this linebacker room is the strongest point of the defense for Tennessee. So obviously that's not great news, but defense is still going to be a strength under Jim Knowles this year. It's just more so how quickly are they able to expedite this learning curve, because the history shows that it takes about 2 years to get used to this Jim Knowles system. So bringing in those Penn State transfers, how fast does that expedite the process?
Yeah, that's true. Having guys who have already been in this system, and this is a conversation we've had a ton with Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh. Of you brought in guys who know this system, and they can maybe accelerate the learning process for guys around him. Can the same thing be true for Jim Knowles' defense with the Vols, with some of those Penn State transfers? Again, it's Arian Carter only out for two games, but you lose another starter. That Georgia Tech game, I keep coming back to that as a big turning point of the season for the Vols, where if you win that one, even down a man on defense, with your quarterbacks settling in, no matter who it is, McIntyre or Brandon, are you going to be able to pull it out against another Power Conference opponent on the road? I think that really could be there's still so much time to play after that, right? You got 10 more games, but I think that game could show you where this season is going to go for the Vols, given all the question marks that you have.
Absolutely. I'd say it's kind of a similar conversation we're having with Vanderbilt. Really the only concern, and it's not even a concern because we haven't seen them play a game yet, but that quarterback position, nobody knows who the starter is going to be at this point in time, but you feel good about everything. Tennessee has one of the most experienced offensive lines in the SEC with four returning starters, and the guy who's probably going to be your right tackle, you know, has some experience playing at LSU. So there's that. Your receivers, Braylon Staley, one of the better receivers in the SEC last year. Mike Matthews, a five-star. You're just trying to figure out who's going to be wide receiver three. And then you have Deshaun Bishop, who's all SEC in the preseason. The pieces are there. You just got to figure out who the quarterback is.
Right. And I think that is the big hinge point of, if you get good quarterback play, this Tennessee team could be very good. The roster is solid on both sides of the ball. Now, the injuries and the suspension make things a little bit hazier on the defensive side, but you're right. I mean, I think quarterback play, as it is for a lot of teams, but specifically for Tennessee and Vanderbilt, is going to decide what this season looks like. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will wrap up hour number two coming up next. Any other college football notes? The AP poll set to be released today.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for that, Jake.
You're a big AP poll. I don't want to use the word hater.
Oh no, I'm a hater. I'm definitely a
skeptic.
Hater.
Okay, you're embracing the hater.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a hater of the AP poll. Well, I'll be ripping on it all year.
It comes out in 15 minutes. We'll get your initial thoughts coming out at the top of the hour. We'll talk about that, and also Ryan Day, with a little bit of a change to get ready for the game against Michigan this year. We will get into that as well. Titans practice underway here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. We'll give you updates on how things are going throughout the final hour plus of the show as well. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Reaction Monday. I am again live at Titans training camp. Practice underway. Individual portion going on right now. Again, we'll let you know any headlines throughout the day as practice goes along. It is open to the fans. Good crowd out here for this Monday morning practice. Titans practice today, Wednesday, and then joint practice with Seattle on Friday. We are talking college football here in hour number two. Spent a lot of time on Vandy, some time on the Vols. The AP poll set to be released in a little over 10 minutes here. Who do you think is going to be number one, Parker? Ohio State was number one in the coaches poll. Do you think it's going to be the same in the AP poll coming up?
My guess would be either Ohio State, Oregon, maybe even Texas. I doubt that it'll be Texas, but I believe they'll be in the top three. My guess would either be Ohio State or Oregon.
Yeah, I would say those two in Texas are the three for me. I think Notre Dame probably gets some votes too. I think a lot of people are high on the Fighting Irish this year. And then maybe Georgia gets a vote or two. Those are your top five, though, I would guess, in some order. But, yeah, I think probably one of those two Big Ten teams, Ohio State or Oregon, is going to be number one.
That would be my guess, one of those teams from the Big Ten. I hope the AP is smart enough to not have Indiana outside the top five like the coaches poll did.
Yeah.
Notre Dame I expect to be in there. I would hope to see Georgia maybe within the five to eight range. I think your top seven is pretty set if you throw Miami in there too, and then you got your three tiers for or your three teams from the Big Ten, Texas, Georgia, a combination of those seven teams. I think that would be pretty fair to I just want to see the order.
Yeah, I think those seven are your top seven. I would be surprised if anyone else sneaks in, because beyond that, I think there's a lot of question marks for the next tier of the SEC, A&M, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Alabama. Like, are those playoff teams this year? Either they're losing a lot, or with Oklahoma, I think you saw the way they finished the season, A&M too, where it just didn't look very good when they got into the playoffs. So I'm interested to see what those teams look like. You also have Texas Tech, who's going to be somewhere in that range, too, as the top Big 12 team. And then the Big 10, beyond those top three teams, is USC going to be a playoff-caliber team this year? How about Michigan? What does Penn State look like as the Matt Campbell era begins? So I think there's a lot of questions, but those are probably your next 8 to 10. You could add LSU and BYU in there as well. Your next 8 to 10 beyond that clear 7 at the top.
And, you know, there's a ongoing debate. I've been hearing this a lot on DVD over the last few weeks. But if you're looking at the coaches poll, I think it's pretty well represented that, you know, that tier one of the Big Ten is the best tier in college football. With the SEC, you know, the preseason conversation has been, okay, it's Texas, it's Georgia, and then there's just a big tier two. Well, if you're looking at the coaches poll, you just have a cluster of SEC teams all just kind of lumped together with Texas A&M at 8, Oklahoma at 9, Ole Miss at 10, Alabama at 11, then you have LSU at 13. That just shows, and again, this means nothing because it's preseason, but there's a cluster of five SEC teams from the 8 to 13 range.
Yeah, I think the second tier of the SEC is strong. And you're probably not going to see all those teams end up being playoff teams, right? It's hard to imagine six or seven SEC teams being in the top 12. But I think A&M, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, and then you get down to teams like Tennessee and Missouri. Like, it's a deep SEC, but I wouldn't put those teams up in that top tier with teams like Ohio State and Oregon. Speaking of Ohio State, I'm sure you saw this. Ryan Day moving senior day to week one to avoid distractions during the game against Michigan. And I got to say, I'm all for tradition. And, you know, senior day traditionally is going to be at the very end, your final home game of the regular season. but I love this. I love it. I mean, the seniors are going to get honored at some point during the season. They're going to get their moment with their family and get announced to the crowd. Why does it have to happen before the most important game of the season? I love this from Ryan Day, moving it up and saying, our focus is going to be purely on beating Michigan in that final day of the season.
College football is at its best when we have hatred, just pure hatred in these rivalry games. And seeing Kyle Whittingham's comments about the game, seeing Bryce Underwood's comments about the game, I wish the Michigan folks would just stop talking and take a more Ryan Day approach where, hey, we're having senior day to kick off this thing, and then all eyes are, we're focused on the game. And right now, I've been told that Ohio State folks aren't even mentioning the name Michigan. Like, they're already crossing out M's up there in Columbus. So, good for Ryan Day. Good for Ohio State to keep the hatred in this rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the you saw even 2 years ago where Ohio State, they did win a national championship, but Michigan beat them. So, in their mind, in Michigan's mind, it's like, hey, take that national championship. Guess what? We got one last year, but you still couldn't beat us. And that rivalry just means so much. And I'm glad that Ryan Day is eliminating all distractions moving forward, because I really do think that that game – is there a rivalry in sports that means more than the game?
I would say, you know, the top three rivalries that come to mind for me – Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, Duke, North Carolina men's basketball.
Yeah, Duke, North Carolina definitely would be the basketball equivalent.
And those are like, probably my three, though, just off the top of my head.
In college football, the top ones, of course, you know, Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl, the game. I just those two fan bases just despise each other, and it's so much fun. I think that is the best rivalry in sports. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ron texted, give me your argument on why Indiana is not in your top 10. Indiana, we included them in that top 7 there, Ron. I might not have mentioned them by name, but Indiana deserves to be in that top group of 7 that I think is a tier above everybody else. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, Miami. Those are your top 7. You can order them however you'd like, but I think it's pretty clear those are the top 7 teams in college football.
I'd have all three of those teams in the top 5. You know, I'm not doubting Kurt Cignetti after what he did to all of us last year, because if we're being honest, a lot of us like to play a little revisionist history, but if we're being honest, I think all of us doubted Indiana at some point last year.
I tried to stop doubting them after they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. That was because I picked Ohio State in that game. I felt pretty good about it. And then once they beat them, I said, all right, I think Kurt Cignetti might be to the point where I have to stop doubting him. It crept into my mind to pick Alabama when they played Indiana in the Rose Bowl, but I'm glad I didn't. I stuck with my gut of don't doubt Kurt Cignetti anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm done. I was I think I picked against them 3 times last year. I picked against them in the Oregon game, picked against them in the Big Ten Championship, and I even picked them to lose against Oregon in the semifinals, and every single time I'm just left with egg on my face. So I'm done doubting them. And with this team, you know, people like Bruce Feldman, I'm sure, are going to talk about what all Indiana lost last year, but what they have coming in is the number one transfer portal class in college football.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of it's going to depend on Josh Hoover. We just talked about the Vols and Vandy. Quarterback play, obviously, across all levels of football is paramount. But I think you can give Kurt Cignetti the benefit of the doubt with what he's done with Curtis Rourke and Fernando Mendoza, who both made headlines on Thursday night in different ways across the NFL. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Parker, sadly, we're going to have to reschedule our scramble with New York Doug. We were just texting about it.
What's the reason?
I'm out of town the next couple of Saturdays, so I won't
right.
be able to make it. And then we're into football season,
yeah,
where you don't want to be doing it on Saturday or Sunday.
Don't bother me on Saturdays in the fall.
New York Doug suggests maybe 9 holes on a weekday afternoon. Maybe we can swing that.
We can definitely swing that.
We'll try and figure that out. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans practice underway. They're getting close to getting into some team drills. Again, it's open to the fans. We'll give you some updates throughout the final hour of the show. We'll get Parker's reaction to the AP poll when it comes out in a couple of minutes here. And I did want to talk Titans offensive line. It seems like it's Fernando Carmona's job to lose at right guard. Does that make you feel better about the group as a whole? We'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.